fair, a special feature which I think offers both challenge and inspiration to those seeking to bring about social change. Last week we opened with talkback on the development of grassroots Christian communities and how they're seen as models, whereby the church and society can be challenged and changed. This hour we look at a unique training program which is challenging Christians to take seriously the option of creating grassroots community life and engaging deeply with the needs of the wider community around them. It's a program that subverts common understandings about welfare, service and church. It's a two-week community orientation course, and it's run each year in the inner city suburb of West End in Brisbane. It's organised and hosted by the Waiters Union. We heard something about this group last Sunday night from one of its founders, Dave Andrews. The Waiters Union is a Christian-based group of individuals and families who choose to live in West End, either in shared housing or in their own place, and to take seriously the work of Christ in caring personally for the people in their neighbourhood. Like the inner suburbs of many cities, West End is an area of considerable social disadvantage, with many low-income families, people with mental illness, Aborigines, homeless people, migrants and refugees, and residents of boarding houses in the community. The community orientation course has been running for about 12 years, bringing people from across Australia to a live-in experience of creating Christian community for the purpose of serving the wider community. 18 participants enrolled in this year's two-week course. It finished 3 weeks ago. Tonight we'll hear the story of four of them, and we'll hear from some of the people who led some of the sessions. Let's begin by meeting our four participants. We met in one of the Waiters Union houses just before the course began to speak about their backgrounds and their expectations.
I'm Delwyn. I'm a social work student from Melbourne. I'm here on the course because I've been living in a community in Melbourne at Collins Street Baptist Church for the last 6 months. And in the year before that, before deciding to move in there, just had lots of questions raised about discipleship and about what it means to be a Christian and about community and serving the community and how to do that in a sustainable sort of way that can go on for a lifetime and not just be a little flash in the pan. I'm hoping to have time to listen to people's ideas, to listen to and observe what people do and how they express their faith, and to have time to then integrate that into some sort of understanding. I hope that it'll give me a clarity, I guess, in deciding where to go in the future, where to go next year, maybe the next 5 years, and then lifetime, you know, in terms of where to live, what work to do, and different choices like that.
My name is Kylie. I'm 30 years old. I'm a medical practitioner from Brisbane. This year I'm taking a year off my work to do a graduate diploma of Christian Studies at the Bible College of Queensland. And so this two-week course is part of my study. I'm hoping that in this time I'm going to have an experience of Christian community in my area, what it means to be a Christian in an inner city environment. It will challenge me to think outside of traditional ideas about what a doctor living in a major city in Australia, what sort of lifestyle they may lead, and as a Christian, how I can integrate my faith with my work and my whole life.
My name is Tony Knight. I'm a 34-year-old firefighter from Stanwell Park, which is near Wollongong. I became interested in community development quite some time ago, just reading about it and seeing examples of it in Bali, where we used to live. When we came back to Australia, I started talking about it with some friends, and they were interested in the same sort of thing, so they're here doing the course as well, and we're looking at the possibility of maybe setting up a community. Could be similar, could be different to what's here at West End. But the reason that I think personally that I'm doing this course is because as a Christian, I looked around at the suffering around me in the world and even in our own neighbourhood and thought, well, you know, what am I doing about that, and am I really doing enough? And I mean, the answer was definitely a big no. And sometimes I feel so overwhelmed by the amount of suffering around me and think, well, as an individual, it's just so difficult to make a difference. But with a group of people getting together, I think that you can make a much bigger difference. And I'd heard about what was going on up here and thought, this is just a fabulous example of people who have decided that they want to live their Christianity in a way that doesn't distinguish between the things that you do on a Sunday and then the things that you do during the rest of the week. And that is the challenge for me, I think, is, you know, to have a look at what goes on and ask myself, am I up for this? Can I do this? I certainly want to, but there's a lot of pressure in the real world out there, in the big world, to basically to live my life for myself, to, you know, to enrich myself, to get to where I want to go personally. And, you know, even if I chose that path, I'm sure that I would still want to do things to help other people. But I think God's asking me to do something bigger than that. I think he's asking me to make those kinds of decisions every single day, and that's what I want to do.
Hi, I'm Matthew. I'm an engineer from Sydney. I believe that what Jesus and the apostles were all about was about developing the kingdom of God on earth. That's what they're about. They're about developing communities that focus on absolute truths, that focus on the principles of Jesus. And I believe that on, I guess, some kind of academic level, but it's something that I haven't really started to apply in my own life personally. And I guess one of the things that I want to get out of doing this course up at West End is I want to, I guess, look at practical ways how I can develop community with a Christian focus. That is, by trying to develop community from the roots up, you know, working with the marginalised, working with people that are disadvantaged, working with those people and building a community that will glorify God. And I believe that was Jesus' focus, and I believe that was the apostles' focus. Yeah, I think it's like you can talk the talk, but when you have to walk the talk, it's a totally different thing. Like, I know that when Jesus loved, it comes at a cost, and building relationships comes at a cost, you know. And I think about, you know, those parables that Christ talked about. And like the parable of the Good Samaritan, for instance, was, you know, the man had to go out of his way, he had to spend his own money, he had to use his own resources to cater for someone who'd been marginalised or disadvantaged. And building community comes at that cost, you know. You've got to be prepared to sacrifice yourself. And that's something that's not, that doesn't sit naturally with me, you know. It's something that I pray by God's grace that God will work in me, and that I'll be able to make those sacrifices or those expressions of love to people that haven't had the advantages that I guess I've had. So I guess the aim after this course is to develop a community, perhaps like West End. We're going to investigate other communities as well in the area that we choose to commit our lives to and live in.
Delwyn, the process in this course is about creating community as much as teaching you how to create community back in your own place. What are the sort of principles that you think will it be important for that community to actually work?
I think it'll be important for us to be open about the way we're feeling about things, about how the content of the course, the people we're meeting, the things we're doing, how those things are challenging us, and how that challenge might be affecting us. I think it's really possible that we'll all be frightened or angry or wanting to not listen over the time of the course, and I think it's important for us to develop community, that we talk about those things, that we can give each other the opportunity to encourage each other, to support each other, be honest and open. I think that's probably the most important thing.
Kylie, for you, what will have made this a successful time for you?
I think just the fact that this time will be a totally different experience for me of Christian community. Whatever that experience will be, I think it will be useful. So I don't have a lot of preconceived ideas about what's going to happen. I'm prepared to be challenged. I'm not expecting to be frightened by it, but I am expecting to be stretched and challenged through the experience.
I'm pretty confident it'll be effective whatever happens. For me, it's about, you know, whether or not I think I can do this sort of thing back wherever we decide to live next. And one way or the other, I'll learn that through this experience. So even if it turns out that I go away and think it's not for me, that's still an effective thing that I've learned. It's still a success for me.
I guess if I've developed a passion for compassion, like I want to be totally compassionate to people that are marginalised and stuff like that. So if this course generates like a passion for that in me, then I'll feel the course has been a success. I think I'm going to be challenged by it, because I think, I guess like I said before, it's going to come at a cost, it's going to come at personal sacrifice and stuff like that. But I hope it creates a passion or a vision that's so strong in my mind that I'm prepared to make those sacrifices necessary to live in community. So I guess that's how I'd know if it's been a success, if I feel that passion.
Well, there are four participants in the Community Orientation course in West End in Brisbane's inner city just before it began a month ago.
Across Australia, you're listening to ABC Local Radio.
Well, what's the course all about? Neil Barringham is a member of the Waiters Union, the grassroots Christian community which runs the course. He's the course coordinator.
We invite people basically to come and live with us here for 2 or 3 weeks, and to come and meet local people, to hear local people's stories, to run through workshops with local people who are working with Aboriginal people, or working with people with mental health issues, or people who are seeking refuge here in Australia. Yeah, the course is about coming to join with us, to learn with us, to meet local people, perhaps to learn to stand in a different place. Someone said, what you hear depends on who you listen to, and what you see depends on where you stand. So we invite people to come and stand in a bit of a different place, particularly in light of hearing from the little people and hearing from people who are on the edge of our local community, some of their stories and some of their life, so that we can rework and rethink our lives and where we're heading in our own spirituality, and how we're involved in our local communities. So people come here from all around Australia, really, and just to come and spend the 2 or 3 weeks hearing, thinking, listening, learning, and actually meeting face-to-face with people who are on the edge in our local community.
What brings them here? What are they looking for?
I think a lot of people, and us as well, we feel the gap between what we'd like the world to be and what we see it as, and we also feel the gap between our own theory, I guess, our own sense of theology and how do we actually apply the values that we have in life. And so courses like this can help build some of the connections across those gaps. They can help us express the kind of ideals we have in better ways and put things on the ground.
It's a Christian enterprise, a Christian activity. It's a lot different from what most people may think happens in a church, or that the church at local level is concerned with. What are the key principles or ideas that sit at the heart of this community expression that you're talking about?
We value really highly personal connections between people. So in many agencies or churches or groups we're part of, it's easy to get to a fairly formal approach and to formalise things. What we're trying to encourage people to do here is just to get alongside other people, to meet them face to face, to hear people's stories, to learn, to listen, and that out of that personal connection with the little people or with people in our communities will come ideas for action. This course, it's not a formal teacher-student type course. It's more a come and live with us course, come and meet people, come and dialogue with people, come and hear people's stories. And so we really value it when we see people come here who may have never met someone who has lived in a boarding house, or they may have never actually interacted personally with someone who has a pretty severe mental health problems, or they may have never met someone who sought refuge here in Australia. They might have heard about them in the media or from newspapers, or they might have heard people talking about such groups of people, but to actually sit down and chat with people and hear their stories is a profoundly changing experience. So we value people coming here to actually meet face-to-face with such people and to rethink, how am I actually connecting with these people in my local community, and to go home seeking to have a much more personal and informal response to such people in their local communities. And we've seen people do that. I've talked to someone recently who did the course here about 11 years ago, and she comes from another state, and she was just saying that in hindsight, on her past few years of just trying to bring up her family and be involved in local organisations and her church, she said that the 3 weeks here was one of the most formative experiences she's ever had. Another group we know went back to their home context, and they've written back to us saying that they've completely revamped their approach to people in their communities who live with mental health issues. And so yeah, we feel really, really inspired when we hear those kind of responses.
What are the kind of spiritual challenges or focuses at the heart of this experience, do you think?
I guess a critical spiritual challenge is related to the one I've just mentioned about being personally involved. It's easy for us to try and distance ourselves from these kind of issues. It's easy to keep in a theoretical realm. It's easy to keep, especially for people from church-based backgrounds, to keep things at a fairly theological level. And it's a real spiritual challenge to say, yes, I'm willing to be involved. Yes, I'm willing to meet someone. Yes, I'm willing to hear their story. Or yes, I'm willing to journey with someone. So that's a profound spiritual challenge for many of us. And we've found some people even come to the course here and after a couple of days recognise that kind of spiritual challenge or personal challenge and want to go home. And some do go home because they thought they might have been coming here for a fairly formal, theoretical kind of course, perhaps. Our second profound spiritual challenge that I think we offer through the course here is actually to re-look at and rework who the person of Christ is, And so just through the discussions and through the dialogues we have, we try and move ourselves and people doing the course to actually believe again that Christ was personally involved in people's lives, and he came here to challenge us to a compassionate response and not just a kind of formal theoretical response to the world.
My friend walks the road less travelled, an unsealed road of discipline. She's sometimes led, she's sometimes driven, sometimes hungry, sometimes fed. While we the many walk a highway lit so bright it must be true. She walks lanes that too few enter, where tiny lanterns dot the gloom. My friend turned her back on power, she chose another mobility. She finds peace in smaller places, for weakness is the source of grace. While we the many ask for praises, through pride we're watered, so we grow. She avoids the kiss of culture, down into the silence goes. My friend walks a track that's stony, an uphill climb to God knows where. Sometimes she's touched by an ache so poignant, sometimes she's given to despair. While we the many skirt the painful, we the many unease the tides. My friend looks, she seeks her darkness, she digs to find the better prize.
John Coleman and Ian Bartle, The Road Less Travelled, that song picking up the ethos of what we're talking about. Before that we heard Neil Barringham of The Waiters Union. Here with David Bush, we're looking at how a community orientation course in Brisbane's inner city is challenging Christians to consider new ways of creating grassroots community for the purpose of serving their local communities. It's just 25 past 11. Well, a wide range of people are involved in bringing input to the orientation course in West End. Let's meet a couple of them and also hear from Delwyn, Kylie, Tony and Matt about some of the memorable things they did in the course. Firstly, Angie Andrews. Angie works with refugees and asylum seekers in the West End community. I asked her what she brought to the orientation course.
I think that I try to actually help to break down barriers between people about what they think a refugee is and to what actually a refugee is, and trying to explain the historical context from which they come and what kind of trauma they are actually under, and then what they are doing when they have to go to an interim country before they even come to Australia and what they go through there. And so that people have an understanding that we should be welcoming the people with open arms to think that human beings could endure the things they do and then come with such a lack of welcome to our country is not a very good thing. So I try to actually help people understand that so that they're more compassionate towards them.
In terms of working with those people, what are the principles or models that you draw on in the way that you work as a person in Christian community seeking to make a difference to the lives of those people?
Well, I would actually be very influenced by people like Sean Banier, that's written quite a number of books, a Catholic writer, and I feel very inspired by that because he talks about us in our brokenness together with other people, not us in our strength, thinking that we have all the answers, we have all the solutions, that we understand their predicament, but actually walking alongside them in the journey, because once you walk alongside, you realise how powerless you actually are. Yet at the same time, sort of struggling for solutions together with those people and trying to understand how strong they actually are from what they've gone through and how weak we actually are. So for me, that's a very big power shift, because you're actually learning so much from other people that have gone through things that we can't even sort of begin to imagine how horrific. Even in the Christian world, in a lot of ways, people think it's from a powerful position because they belong to God and therefore they have all the answers and they know all the solutions as well about how to assist people. And it actually means that I believe that actually God came and sort of limited himself for us, and that therefore we must limit ourselves too to understand the human predicament. The growth for me has been to understand how God feels, that I think that God is very pained about our planet and about the fact that in most of the world people are in enormous trouble, and that for me to be constantly awake and conscious of that in Australia, where we have so much and that we can do so much more than we think we can, that to me is a very big challenge, to actually empathise with God and to not feel overwhelmed by that.
And Angie, you do this work as part of a grassroots Christian community here in West End, the Waiters Union. What difference does that make to what you're describing as being a fairly personal engagement between yourself and the refugees? How do you find the community aspect of your own life, the way that that is grounded here in community, making a difference to the way you address the social issues that you're involved in?
Well, I have no illusions that it's just me, that I always have started from the premise that we cannot change things by ourselves, that we can only do it together. So I can call on a lot more friends and resources locally, because I believe in sharing my life with others, that I'm not an island to myself. And therefore it has big implications in terms of being able to draw upon a lot of other people that are really wanting to share their lives and to understand more fully what God is like because of that. It's about actually about letting go of your assumptions about how you think you can help people, but really understanding it's to walk alongside and to not power over people, but to get control over yourself, and to understand about being deeply in tune with God and with yourself and with others, and heart to heart, not just great theories and things like that, but and also recognising the strength of pulling together at every turn to do that, rather than competitive ways of operating and destroying community. You know, if I do believe that I can save the world, then I'm in big trouble. But I do believe that I can do a lot more than I think I can. That's the other side of it. So I have to really be totally conscious of not vying for power myself by showing how great my contribution is. For me, that's very important. So it's actually getting a hold over so many of my different struggles.
It's funny, because people can be paralysed into inactivity because we feel so powerless. You're saying, though, that powerlessness is actually an entry point to making a difference.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's only as we recognise how powerless we actually are that we can make that movement together with the people, not over the people, together to find the solutions that we need to find.
Like a candle burning wildly, raging soft against the night. Spark that leaps to clear the shadows, sending warm, disturbing light. We were called to live the passion, hope stands strong against all pain. For it's only in the burning that the candle shows its flame. Beside our feet, swiftly flowing from the highland, comes to rest to waters meet. All our journeys rising, falling, making turns we least expect. When the spirit churns within us, know God's power through the test.
Yesterday we had an experience of simulating what it would be like to hear voices. So we walked around with a pair of headphones on and a tape playing that showed that had voices going into our head, and we had to do activities inside and out in the community and just experience what that was like. And that was pretty amazing, because it's difficult, and it gave us some insight into what it must be like for people with mental illnesses who have to put up with that all the time.
We've heard from a lot of different groups within the community. So some people who are refugees from Eritrea came and talked to us about their experiences in Eritrea and since leaving there, and their experience of being in Australia and being refugees, and what that's been like. And that had a real impact on me, just to hear personal stories of their struggles and the impact on families and on so many individuals in their lives.
I really appreciated the opportunity to hear about Aboriginal issues and also to go down to Musgrave Park with Auntie Jean Phillips, a senior person in the Aboriginal community, and have her walk around with her and meet Aboriginal people with her, and just to get to know some people and to share prayer with them in Musgrave Park. And to me that was a really good experience, because I'd always had a degree of fear about going, you know, I never would have gone and sat in Musgrave Park with a group of Aboriginal people and just introduced myself and said hi before. But now I think that is possibly something that I could do.
One of the models that we've been looking at is perhaps a more inclusive model than many of the church institutions present to us, and I found that really confronting and really challenging. With the church that I'm associated with, we have a fairly tight set of boundaries. You know, you're either in Christ or you're out of Christ, and those boundaries are defined, I guess, by what the group thinks are essential and non-essential doctrines, teachings and all that kind of stuff. Some of the stuff that we've looked at is that perhaps the boundaries aren't that important, and perhaps what's most important is that we lead a Christ-centered life, that is, that we're leading and walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and that can be something totally different for everyone, because we all stand in different places.
I really enjoyed going out on Meals on Wheels, delivering meals to people who were shut in, and just the way that they welcomed us. Many people were standing outside their houses waiting for us to come, and for many it was their only contact with another person during the day. And just to hear some of the stories, one lady who had come out from Poland having been a prisoner of war in Second World War, just to hear a little bit of her story. And also another lady that who asked us to pray for her about the fact that she was frightened of being evicted from the place where she was. And some other people went and delivered her meal this week, and she said to them that she is no longer under danger of being evicted. So that was a really amazing thing that happened.
I've found the whole experience of getting to know the people who have been doing the course quite incredible. We've all come from just such different places and have had such different experiences of family and of church and of all those things, and that's been really encouraging for me to see so many people excited about exploring their faith, I guess, and how to follow Christ and how to live lives that will show that.
I really enjoyed going out in the early morning breakfast, or I think they call it the coffee brigade. Yeah, they get up about 5:45 and get the sandwiches together and the coffee together and then drive to 4 locations around Brisbane, and essentially it's to take care of the homeless. Yeah, and but the people involved on that team are all quite inspiring, and they're just everyday people that are trying to do, you know, show the love of Christ. And yeah, so those people have impacted upon me, and yeah, they've been motivating and inspiring.
I've met a lot of people in the last fortnight that I would consider heroes, really. I mean, they're everyday people, but they've overcome incredible adversity in their lives to get where they are. One woman I can think of, we had dinner at her place. She has a mild intellectual disability, and after eventually gaining housing and learning to read and write, she was able to gain enough confidence to teach other people with mild intellectual disabilities to read and write as well. And just her incredible growth from where she started to now is has been really, really inspiring. And there have been lots of people like that who've overcome where they've been to get to somewhere else. And it was just wonderful hearing their stories.
Like an angel walking lightly on this fragile earth of clay, touching folk with raw compassion, laughing, playing on the way, freely living every moment in the mystery of grace, giving, dying, living, rising, see the beauty of God's face.
Course participants Delwyn, Kylie, Tony and Matt reflecting on activities they have done during the fortnight course. Before that, Angie Andrews, who introduced the community orientation course to refugees and asylum seekers.
Across Australia, you're listening to ABC Local Radio.
And you're with David Bush. It's 20 to 12. Another session leader for the community orientation course was Maddie Anilzark. Maddie is a social worker who works as a grief and loss counsellor with Karuna. That's a Buddhist-based hospital, a Buddhist-based community hospice service, which works with the dying in their own homes and their families. Maddie is also part of the Waiters Union in West End. I asked her what issues of grief and loss might arise for people considering a choice to live in grassroots community.
I guess the fact that, particularly from a professional point of view, you actually make a decision to stay probably on the edges of your profession and not to become centrally involved in terms of looking for career involvement and for career improvement along the way. So for me, it's been a definite decision that I work part-time in terms of paid work so that I have time left to do other things around the community. And in doing that, I probably have not progressed career-wise as far as I could have done had I made other choices with my life.
So how do you counsel people who come for this community training who, in deciding to establish grassroots community, will have to deal with the grief and loss of saying no to other possible lifestyle and career options that they'd have available?
One of the things, I guess, that I really encouraged people about in this course was to find themselves a support group, you know, whether it be something like the Waiters Union here or a smaller group of people, because I think it's almost impossible to withstand the water that pushes you in the other direction unless you do it with a group of other people. I think that to do it by yourself is really very, very difficult. So that will be one of the key things, to get yourself support and to get yourself a mentor of some kind who you can really talk things through with and who you can really be honest with and say, look, you know, some days I do wonder whether I'm being really stupid. I could be going the other way and maybe, you know, really progressing. And am I just, you know, being really silly to kind of pull myself back and say, no, I don't want to go that way.
So you're helping the course participants deal with their own grief through the choices they make. Is there also a grief and loss component in working with people who are themselves marginalised, people who are homeless, Indigenous, migrant refugees and with mental illness? Is there a sense in which you'd want to help the course participants understand how to deal with other people's grief and loss?
Yes, and I think, you know, without going into details, probably at this time, one of the things that I did was to share some of my own life story, which hasn't been easy, and which has, in a sense, brought me from a marginalised position to being able to work and being able to look after myself and being able to do things for myself. So, yes, a very big component was trying to help them to see through my own story and through other people's stories that I could tell them the things involved in working with those people at the margin and how easy it is to get sucked into their despair and how somehow, like one of the big components, I guess, of what I talk about is how I find hope in a world where every day I see people who are dying and people who are losing their loved ones. And so how do I not get sucked into this feeling of despair and that the world's a horrible, lousy place? And for me, that's very much tied up with my faith and very much tied up with, I guess, the resurrection, that death is not the end, that in Jesus Christ I see that he conquered death and made death not the end but the beginning of a new life. And in many ways I have seen lots of people who we've worked with on the margins almost go through that resurrection where they had very little life and now they have a new life. But that's been through going through a very, very painful process to get there. But it is almost like watching people who are prepared to go through that pain rise again and be a new person.
So what advice do you give people who are keen to work in an area of social disadvantage where they may find themselves being sucked into other people's despair, but may also carry unhelpful personal issues for themselves?
I think that unless we're willing to work through our own issues, then probably we do more harm than good in these areas of work. I mean, I know that had I gone into these areas of work before I worked out my own stuff, I could have really been quite damaging to other people. Because, yeah, I would have, some of me would have got sucked in, and also I would have been a rescuer who thought I could go in there and rescue everybody. And you can't. People rescue themselves if they're ready to do so. And we help them and we provide, I suppose, a kind of friendship in which they can do that, but they have to be willing to do it. We can't rescue people. You never can. And I think a lot of people do a lot of harm trying, and also they can destroy themselves in the process. And again, I suppose, you know, probably the strongest bit of advice is don't try and do it on your own. Working on your own in these very emotionally charged areas, I think, is incredibly difficult not to go down yourself.
That's Maddie Anilzark speaking about her sessions on grief and loss at the Community Orientation course held in West End this year. This live-in course is hosted and organised by the Waiters Union, a grassroots Christian-based community in inner-city Brisbane, and it aims to challenge and equip Christians for serving their local communities. It's just gone 11:45.
Across Australia, you're listening to ABC Local Radio.
Well, we've been hearing from four of this year's participants in the Community Orientation course, Delwyn, Kylie, Tony and Matt. We caught up again at the end of the 2 weeks to find out what they'd learned and what impact the experience had made on them.
I think I came up to West End looking for a formula, you know, like the 10 principles of how to develop community, and it's just not the reality, you know. It's a process whereby you try and work through issues, because when you've got people from such diverse backgrounds, there's obviously issues that come up. And in an intentional community, you've got to work through those processes. You can't just say, oh, it's too tough, I'm going to walk away from this. So it makes you work through the process of love and try to, you know, try to determine where they're at, where you're at, and try to negotiate, I guess, a way to solve problems.
you can see there's been a process going on within our group. You know, we started off sort of, you know, quite nice to each other, I guess, and, you know, there's been a stage of where we're not so nice, perhaps, because the inevitable conflicts arise. And I think it's a pity in a way that, you know, it's only 2 weeks long, because I think, you know, that we're starting to work through all that and to get beyond that into sort of a more genuine sense of community among the group, accepting each other, you know, as different people with different needs. So you can certainly see that going on. And in fact, one of the exercises we did today really brought that out. We have to sort of negotiate with each other and discuss what we're going to pay for the course, and we actually reached a consensus on that, and I think it was such a tribute to the group, which is fairly large after all, that, you know, we were able to agree and accept the fact that we're all paying different amounts for the course based on what we can afford, and also that the additional money that was left over after the costs were taken care of has been allocated to various non-profit organisations that, you know, we think would benefit from the money.
It was actually quite amazing to see the huge differences in the amount that people have put in, like as little as $40 and as much as $400, I think, was the top. And that's, to me, that's been really exciting, that people are willing to share that, and for people to be willing to share that that's what they can afford to put in on both ends of that spectrum has been really quite exciting.
And of course, it's not community for its own sake. The focus in this course has been developing your own internal community for the purpose of interacting with the community in which you are placed. What have you learned about the way a group of Christians or religious people may develop intentional community for a purpose outside their own existence?
I've learned a couple of really important principles. I think it's a real tribute to the course that they haven't actually given us a how-to, a list of, look, do this and don't do that, because what works here obviously may not work somewhere else. What we've really done is gone back to the biblical principles behind community, and I think that's been so empowering for us. Matt, my husband, and I want to do this sort of thing somewhere else. So it's been really beneficial for me to learn that, number one, the sole motivation really is out of love for Christ, so that there's no point in focusing on, you know, I want the community to be this or be that. If you focus on community, you never get it, is one of the things that we've learned. It's about focusing on love, on the process, and through that process, if you do love each other, a community will form as a happy result of that. So that's been one very important thing that I've learned. One other one is about the power of being with people, and this is about how you love people. It's not about coming up and trying to solve their problems for them, because we don't have the answers sometimes. There's a lot of suffering in the world, and you know, we trust that, you know, God is going to, you know, take care of that in whatever way he sees fit to do. But we can, out of our love, be with people, and that's a very, very powerful thing. It might be sitting beside someone, it might be just talking about the pain, whatever it is, but just being with people is love, and that's what, basically, at a very basic level, what community is all about, is just being there with people.
I think for me a big thing has been just learning to find common ground with people, to not, as Tony was saying, not come in with the answers and not expect that that's the way things are going to happen, but I guess to listen and to find the part of their story that touches something in me that I can relate to, that I can understand, and to sort of accept that as being enough to begin with.
We've learnt to do this in practical ways. For example, each morning we've done some prayer time where we've been explored different ways of praying for other people, not just the textbook prayers, the nice sounding prayers, but how to really get alongside them in their pain and help them express to God what they're feeling rather than what we think they should be feeling. And that's been a helpful process, I think. We started off by using a story from reading a story in the Bible about a leper who came to Jesus and was healed, and we tried to imagine what thoughts and feelings might have been going on within him, and then we tried to, from that imagining, we each tried to voice a prayer to God on that person's behalf. So we started off really using our imaginations, and then each day we've tried something different, finally praying on our own behalves. For example, what would we say to Jesus if he walked into the room where we're sitting now?
So not just imagining someone else's need and praying through that, but recognising you yourself are that person in need. We are the leper in some circumstances.
Yeah, we are the leper in some circumstances, and I guess to be able to recognise that is empowering in a sense, that it allows us to get alongside other people and not feel that we can't because we don't have all the answers. We can share our pain as much as other people can share their pain with us.
I think one of the strongest lessons that I've got out of this course, like I found it quite confronting and challenging. We've been looking at some fairly large issues, like issues to do with mental health, with Indigenous people, with homeless, with refugees. And when you look at those issues, I guess, they seem so huge that they immobilise us. But the focus has been developing just relationships with individuals and with families, and by getting to know their struggles and working with them, not trying to solve the refugee problem, but working with, you know, a family from, say, Eritrea, something like that, where you can start to get to know them, work their needs, and actually address those needs in practical ways, like, you know, help them with education, help them find a house, help them find employment, practical things.
It seems like it's impossible to keep going if you try and do what you've said to solve the refugee problem. Is impossible to live that in a sustained way, and so I think that's been a really important lesson about through being here, is just how people have managed to do these things and live this way over a long period of time.
You mentioned sustainability. That's an interesting question. What have you learned about a spirituality that sustains Christians engaged in intentional and fairly costly community?
I think for me it's about putting a lot more trust in God than I have in the past, to be honest. A lot of things that I do, I think I've done out of my own strength, and, you know, Delwyn's right, you know, we can't focus on solving the whole problem out of our own strength. It's just not going to happen that way. Certainly there are things that we can do to make changes, but for me it's about relying on God more. It's about realising that everything that we do comes out of our love for Christ. And for me personally, to be able to make a long-term commitment, it's going to require me to every single day renew that commitment. So find some way of starting each day reminding myself that, you know, that's what I'm in it for. It's not about me, it's not about changing the world, it's just about loving Christ and doing what Christ wants me to do in whatever small way. And I think that that's the way I can keep on going doing it.
I think for me it's going to involve getting to know my Bible better, and that's one thing I've been challenged with during the course that I wasn't expecting. I wasn't expecting the emphasis that's been placed on reading the Gospels and the Bible and looking for principles within them and trying to apply those things to our lives. And I think, yeah, that's been helpful for me, that has been reiterated, just the importance of the Scriptures.
I think for me, I really recognise the importance of treating other people and myself really gently, and I think for me it's really easy to expect far more of myself than I can possibly achieve, and sometimes I expect the same of other people, that they can do or are, you know, something other than what they really are. So I think for me to live this way sustainably, then that's something I'm going to have to continue to realise, that there are, I guess, limits to what I can do and to who I am, and that's true of everybody. So to just hold people's dreams and ambitions and goals and their work just really quite lightly.
I think for me my whole Christianity has been sort of self-focused, like it's about how can I develop myself so that I become more like Jesus, you know. I think what this course has really shown me is that forget about yourself and focus on others, and that's where the growth comes. So I find that by focusing on others, it actually frees yourself to grow. So by helping others, you can experience the presence of Christ, you know, and you can grow from that. That's about dying every day. That's about giving up self and carrying a cross. And I think I've always known, like, the theology, the teaching of that, but I think the course has made it much realer because we've actually been going out into the streets and trying to do practical things to help others in need, and I found that quite liberating and freeing.
God of the mess that we're in, you still bless us and feel every bump when we fall. You see the good in our hearts and you know how we struggle, you fathered mothers all. You
see it through the eyes of the child on the street, the man on the dole who drinks down defeat, the mother alone, her rent of due. It's not what you want, but it's true.
So what might this course and the story of the training course mean for other people across Australia? A final word from course coordinator Neil Barringham.
We'd hope that all of us would keep our hopes up for a better world. Yeah, we'd hope that rather than taking on the deep kind of cynicism that's around in our community, that we'd all maintain our hopes for a better world and do what we can to work towards that in whatever small, low-profile, informal ways we can in our local communities. We want to nurture those kind of hopes.